Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
All right. Today's live stream is titled Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless House Building. Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless House Building. And hopefully we got a guest that'll call in. She's called in before. And our goal this week is we might find a solution or a strategy. I know we're going to find at least one or two strategies this live stream, but the goal is to get this person into a house. So, and that might require reinvention. So today's podcast is Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless House Building.
Bye. Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that. Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day, up popped a for sale sign, and she squealed the whole way home,
and she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500, and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account, and he said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning,
but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out like my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Hygge. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
Now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
She has 3 envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the Tiny Home Nation.
She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same.
Which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing.
If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor F. 7 Eyewitness News.
All right, today's podcast is titled Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless House Building. We have a guest that we need to replicate what Lauren Nelson has done. She's only 12 years old now. She was actually 10 when she did that. They did the story when she was 11, but she's 12 years old right now. So we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes because we have to take that strategy that Lauren did. That's one strategy. We're going to look at three strategies for this, and we're going to apply it to our guest that's called in today. So listen to this. We've heard it before, but now it's time to put feet to these strategies.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right, today's live stream is titled Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless House Building. So we're going to apply the first strategy. Well, here are the strategies that we have out there. The Lauren Nelson strategy, the 9 friends strategy that I just played, and we're going to do one more strategy. And let me bring on our special guest here. Rose, you there?
Yes.
Good. Thanks for calling in, Rosemary. Rosemary, tell it. Now, our goal with Rosemary, well, you know what? Rosemary, share your story, and then, you know, then we'll put together, you know, what we're going to do.
Well, I'm just homeless. I don't have nowhere to go. I'm not house, no nothing.
Okay, and how long have you been homeless?
A long time. I've been looking for a place. Every time I go through it, it's always. They're not renting it, or they've already done renting it, or they're beating on it. They never get back with me.
Okay. Now, Rose, you're in between, what, northern Florida and southern Georgia, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any source of income at the moment?
I get a check every month.
Okay. All right. We don't need to know the figure on that. All right. So we're going to help Rose out some kind of way. And because Rose is, she's pretty persistent. She doesn't give up. That's my take, because I've known her for maybe 3 months now at least. But what we want to do, and that's why I titled today's live stream, Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless House Building. Now, Rose is willing to learn. You know, so... There's five little points I want to go through. Then we you know, and this live stream, now we might not have everything we need for Rose today, but today we're going to call it a start. And we're going to document what we're doing working with her. Now, just like from the Nine Friends audio I just played, okay, Rose is one person, I'm two people. We're looking for seven more people. I don't know who those other seven people will be, but we'll find them. And it might be up to maybe 18 people, because in the Nine Friends video, I mean not video, but audio, nine pickup trucks showed up. So if there were two people per truck, the driver, and that's nine people right there, plus one person in the passenger seat, that's 18 people. So a part of that strategy is like with Lauren Nelson, along with her mother, father, grandfather, sisters, and some of her little girlfriends, they took 2 months to fix it up. All right, that's a strategy. With Rose, what we want to do is have a non-friend strategy where, once again, many hands make light work, where we can find something and either build it or renovate it. Or should I say rehab it, because there's a distinction between those two words, by sundown. All right, and that's going to require some planning. All right, but, and that's why I play that Nine Friends audio quite frequently. So what I'm going to do now, before we go to the phone lines, because we got a caller with their hand up already, and come back to Rose. Let's see. There's another example because, you know, the strategy that Lauren Nelson did was, number one, Lauren Nelson didn't have to get that camper. Now, she did a great job in finding it. She found a great purchase price and everything, but Lauren wasn't homeless, okay? But she, one of the strategies in the Lauren Nelson thing is she found something that was livable. Well, that could be made livable, habitable, as they called it. And, you know, she had, you know, she put it together. Whereas with Rose, what we're looking at is something that we can either, if we can't find what we want through Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or what have you, then we're going to have to build it ourselves. All right? So I'm going to play this next one called Solar Cabin. Some of you have heard of it a gazillion times before, but we have a live person on here, Rosemary. Rosemary, hold on. This is about a five-minute piece. Lamar Alexander and this, he built his own cabin solo within a week. I think a week. Well, he tells you right on here. So we're going to take what Lauren and Lamar has done, along with the Nine Friends, combine all three, And like I said, Rosemary, who spoke already, she'll be back on to speak again today during this live stream so we can get more of her information. But we got two people already out of the 9 to 18 friends. She's one, I'm two.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. Once again, today's live stream is titled Reinvention, Teaching the Homeless How to Be House Building. So we have Rosemary with us today. She is not, and I'll let her tell her story. You know what? It's best to hear from her. I don't want to speak for her. Rose, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Rose, now you mentioned earlier that you're homeless. You've been homeless for some time now, but you've been surviving out there.
Yes.
So you be commended for that. How do you, now, you got to eat, so how do you eat? I mean, every day or what?
Every day, every other day.
Okay. Where are you getting your food from? Now, she does get a check, people, I think at the beginning of the month. So she does have some access to funds. But like you said, you don't get to eat every day. At night, like, where did you sleep last night?
Outside.
All right. And you're in northern Florida.
Yes.
You're in between northern Florida and southern Georgia.
Because
in the time, now, how were you able to get from one place to the other? You know, Georgia.
Walk.
I either,
you know, somebody passed by, you need a ride.
Okay. All right, well, like I said, I've at least not 3 or 4 months, I've known Rosemary here. So I'm looking at, and let me read this off before, and then I'm going to link it back to Rosemary and what we want to do here with reinvention, teaching the homeless, house building. I got five rules here that are in the program notes if you're online in our Blog Talk Radio scrolling marquee. Rule number one, and I'll go through these individually. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. And then, and those are the three big ones. Now, the two other remaining rules that I have is learn and practice the fundamentals of house building within 20 hours. And then rule number five, daily house building physical affirmation. So let me go with this. Now, Rosemary, along with some of the, like the black townships that I've mentioned through here over the years and other entrepreneurs or what have you, you got to start where you are. And when you start where you are, you assess what you have available. So from the little I know about Rosemary, number one, and I'm looking at her assets. Number one, she's got a phone. Number two, it's a working phone. So she can make telephone calls. She can receive phone calls as well as text messages. I don't know if she has a smartphone. Rose, you have a smartphone or just a regular flip phone?
No, sir. I don't have no smartphone.
All right, so it's a flip phone. But that's an asset. So she's got communication. All right, so she uses it. And that's a tool, that's an asset that she has that can go towards house building. Number two is use what you have. So she found me. I'm one person, so she knows how to use her phone. Now, another thing that she has, going back to the first thing, start where you are, she has time. She didn't have to call into this podcast this morning, a live stream. All right, so she has time, and time is an asset. As long as we're breathing, time is an asset. So she's got a phone, and she's got time. All right? And she's not boggled down with a 9-to-5 job. That might sound crazy, but for what we're doing in her situation, you know, she's got that time. Number three, do what you can. Now, so far, what she's been able to do with that phone is make phone calls. All right. So those are three. And we're going to have to use those three principles until we get her into something that is that she owns that we teach her to build. Number four, learn and practice the fundamentals of house building in 20 hours. One book that I've mentioned on here, and I've done at least two podcasts on it over the years, is the book titled The First 20 Hours. The book basically says you can learn basically the fundamentals of anything, learn the language, house building, the whole lot of subjects that we have in this life, within 20 hours. Now, you're not going to playing a sport, you're not going to be a master of it in 20 hours. But within 20 hours, you can learn enough of the fundamentals where you can self-correct. All right? So and this has nothing to do with Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours for mastery. No, no, no. It's if you want to learn a language. In this case, we're talking about house building. So we're going to put Rosemary through 20 hours of fundamentals, hands-on fundamentals, out of those 20 hours, at least 15 of those hours will be hands-on. All right. We have to do some things that, you know, through audio or what have you, or a Zoom call, but that's about 4 or 5 hours. Let's say 5 hours there. The 15 hours will be hands-on physical. So she's got, and she'll learn enough where along with, because one of the fundamentals, okay, is the 9 to 18 friends. All right? She's going to, Rosemary, do you have anybody, do you know anybody that can help you build? Because Rosemary's got some disabilities, I think. Rose, you have anybody that can probably sling a hammer, saw, or carry some boards around? You know anybody like that that can help you build?
No, sir.
You don't?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, that's something we're going to have to work on. Okay. And that goes back to the very first thing I talked about, start where you are. If you don't know somebody, then somebody you know, she knows me, so I know people. All right, so learn and practice the fundamentals of house building within 20 hours. That's it. Let me put it this way. I'll use myself as an example. I played basketball. I started to play, and I don't play anymore, but when I was in seventh grade, I was talked into going out for the team. I went out for the team. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know the game. I didn't know how to play. But for some kind of way, I made the team. And I didn't get in the games that much, but when I finally got into a game, okay, I tripped over my feet. Now, this was a home game, and I was in a boarding school. Sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I was in boarding school. So, military school. So, the whole gym, home game, erupted in laughter. And I was ribbed about that for the remaining of the season and the remaining of the school year. So that summer, I went to a basketball camp to learn how to play the game. A basketball camp was like spanking brand new back then. But at the basketball camp, I learned the game, the rules of the game, the fundamentals of the game. And then in eighth grade, came back. Now, mind you, I was a scrub that year in seventh grade. All right, but over the summer, after I learned the fundamentals and did physical affirmations, which I call practice, you know, practice, foul shots, passing, playing, pickup games, and all that other stuff, I did that the whole summer, okay, into the fall. And then, long story short, my second year playing basketball, all right, I got most valuable player. The distinction is I learned the fundamentals and then practice the fundamentals on a daily basis. I mean, every day, 7 days a week, that's what I did because I had to revenge myself from being the laughingstock of that school from tripping over my feet. So it's the same thing with this. Okay, when you get your 20 hours, now let's say we're going to say right now we haven't reinvented Rosemary into a home builder. Mark today's date now. But grub home builder, she doesn't know the fundamentals. So we're going to teach her in 20 hours the fundamentals. Will she be a licensed home by then or a man? No, she won't. But she'll know the fundamentals along with her. We got to get her 8 to 17 more friends. That's all part of this. But that's all part of the fundamentals. So she'll have that. So in my mind, she has been reinvented into a house builder. All right. Now, next thing is the fifth rule is daily building physical affirmations. We want to get her into something where she's building something on a daily basis that has to do with a house. It could be building a floor. A floor has basically four or five fundamental parts. We're going to teach her that. She'll pick it up real easy. And put it this way. And the reason why I played Lauren Nelson, who's just 12 years old now, but she was 10 when she did that project, and 11 when she recorded that the one the news reporter, got the story. If Lauren can do it at 10 years old, we can do it at our age. That's why I played the Lauren Nelson thing. And now we got two strategies. The Lauren Nelson strategy is Lauren went on Craigslist, or you pick what you pick online. She went online, and she found something that was already built but needed work. So that's one strategy. Okay, and she bought it for $400. I've known people down here, I'm in Florida, I've known people who have bought campers for $500. They might be available every day, but they're out there every week or every month. So that's a strategy that we picked up from a 10-year-old. So the other strategy, and, you know, she had to, it came with mice and she had to clean it up and all that, but it's immaculate now and habitable. Now, with rope, so we have that strategy. The other strategy is, okay, we build something from scratch like Lamar Alexander. All right? And after we get the fundamentals, now we're part of the fundamentals, we're going to discuss which strategy, based on the resources that are available to Rosemary, which way are we going to go? Once again, this will all be documented. And then how we put it together is, you know, when the guy, you know, we asked him, you know, what kind of crew do you have at 7:30 at night to do this? And like, see, it made it brand new. And that's another thing. Lauren took 2 months. Lamar Alexander solo took a week. My goal, I don't know how it's going to turn out, okay, but my goal with helping, once we get the resources all organized with Rosemary here, is to whatever we do, whether it's a rehab project or building from scratch, it'll be done, it's 11 o'clock in the morning? Let's say not, if it's 8 a.m., by 4:30 or 5 p.m., it's done. That's why we want to get all hands on deck on this. So these are little subtests that we have to do. All right. But she'll be involved with all of it. All right. And then once we complete her project, then, you know, and people see the results of it, then there'll be a lot of people beating down the door to Rosemary, and Rosemary can't, how can you help me become a homeowner? All right. So right now, she's in the process of reinvention. I consider her a house builder already. She might be a scrub house builder. Like, I was a scrub ball player one time, but the thing is, she keeps at it every day. And she's got the time and she's got the phone. So that's, and then she's got at least one friend. So let's go to the phone lines. 323, your mic is open.
Hello, LA. How you doing? This is Joe.
Fine.
How
good
been?
To hear your voice again. Hadn't heard you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Is one of your premises, because I read the description page and want to make sure that I've got it right, is one of your premise, or is your entire premise, that if you give at least some of the homeless the resources, and if they have the ambition, that they will build some sort of house for themselves much stronger than the tents that they now have?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me break this down a little bit further. Now, because there are different people. There are people who are homeless for different reasons, whatever. So the very important word that you mentioned is if they have the ambition. So if a person doesn't have the ambition or whatever, it's not going to work. So I'm taking a chance on Rosemary because Rosemary is persistent in calling me quite frequently. So I think she has the ambition, and she's been pretty much upfront. She's got disabilities and whatnot. She does get a check, but it's a limited check. So we're just taking an assessment of what she does has, and with the fundamentals, she'll have something that she can have, can actually live in, legally live in, and it'll be off grid. But I think with that, her confidence level, or anybody's confidence level, will shoot up. And then if they want to build something a little bit traditional, then they already have or the confidence. Well, I built this,
but
let me try. So that's my goal. That's my thinking.
Oh, okay. And the operative word there was ambition. But I have another question. I can see homeless who will say, I've got the opportunity. Let me take advantage of it. I can see those who say, uh-uh, which, of course, I have, we all can see that. But what I'm also saying is the people who have built up tent cities, and if they build wooden structures in place of the tent cities, more or less semi-permanent, if not permanent, is that going to be helpful, or is that going to be deleterious to the community? Because now, instead of tents in which they can roll up and move to another place, these homeless, I think, instead of finding a good ground in which to build their new structure, will build it where the tents are, and they will make a tent city into a ramshack community.
A very, very good question, and I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that we'll be teaching them is this, where you can legally set up shop.
Good.
You're not going to – most tent cities are illegal, and if you use a different – instead of using cloth tents or whatever, you decide to use wood or what have you, you're still illegal, okay? So we're talking about teaching these people, all right, what you can do legally, you know, and when it comes to what I'm doing, it's going to be in a rural location where the land is zoned agricultural, but you can't, these are the rules, here's where you check with the county, and where you build the structure, it'll be legal, and you'll be left alone, and no code enforcement person will come through and, you know, knock it all down, because that's what happens to a lot of tent cities. They knock it down. Or confiscate. There was some guy in Los Angeles that was building tiny houses and giving away to people, but they were within the city limits, and code enforcement came through and did away with those houses. Now, there's a tiny house community in Los Angeles, California now. However, they went through the channels politically, and I think even maybe the city of Los Angeles runs it now. But no, we tell people no. There's a place to do this legally, and if you do it like I'm in Florida, she's in Florida. So if you go to Jacksonville,
right,
Tallahassee, downtown Tallahassee, Miami, Orlando, no, you're going to get flagged, and they're going to tear it down. So the first thing is, where can you actually do this legally?
Right. Well, good for you, L.A., because I didn't know you were involved in a particular mission to help in an organized way to help the homeless. I read your description page, and I listened to your program for about 30 seconds before I called in because the topic was interesting. But I didn't know that you had this planned out. That's good, because then you can be teaching the people who need to be taught where to do it without getting hassled.
Right, and the ones that, like you said, have the ambition. Okay.
Right.
Because if a person, some people, not all, every homeless person has a different story. You got the working homeless, and some are doing it for practical reasons. They deliberately doing it. They have a job. They have working transportation. They might be school teachers or whatever. And they decide, you know what, I'm going to move into my van. And they just want to save, they want to, instead of paying $500 or $1,000 a month rent, all right, their goal is to, for 24 months, live in their car or van, and then at the end of the time, they've got $12,000 to $24,000 saved up where they can make their next move. So there are different stories out there, all right.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is ambition. You know, and some people, for whatever reason, they're in the city, because with these tent cities, because they want to be walking distance or short distance from services. All right.
Right.
And that's another thing that we'll cover as well. So.
You know what else I'm worried about? If not just the homeless, because amongst the homeless are going to be those, of course, who are mentally ill. If they weren't mentally ill by the time they became homeless.
Now, I can't. Number one, I tell people I'm not a social worker, and I can't help everybody. So
I know, but I'm not getting to that. That's not where I'm going. Where I'm going is
right,
that I think the city, like L.A., I think all major cities are not in favor of not just the homeless. They're not in favor of the ordinary citizen. And they will allow the homeless people to do whatever they're doing in order to create and perpetuate chaos. Now, that sounds strange, but the kind of governments that we have now in all the major cities, they're not there for the citizens. They're there because it can't be just stupidity, which is making the decisions that they do. They are there in order to create, like I've said, havoc, chaos for the citizens. Now, again, it sounds weird. It sounds strange. But when you take a look at the decisions such as raising the limit of felonies from $250 to $950 and having orders come down from different mayors to the police commissioners, do not arrest certain people if what they steal they say that they need. Hmm. Now, to me, these kind of orders, these kind of philosophies, they're not helpful. They're detrimental to the running of a society. So that's why I say this.
I believe this. There's something there because there's this term called poverty pimps, mm-hmm. where they might have a homeless program, and they're a different type of homeless program. People approach it from some people think. We'll feed them a meal or give them a sandwich and an apple and a bottle of water and praise the Lord. All right, if you do that, that's your strategy. The Salvation Army, with the men's shelters or whatever, you can get 3 days free rent. Then after that, get on the day labor truck. And I don't know how long they give them in there. But the thing is, the reason why I say teach people how to build their own house, and we're talking about a tiny house, though, is because a lot of them, they get back out, and they get into an apartment or a house, and, it might be too expensive for them, or they might be living in, I'll give an example. In Washington, D.C., it's expensive. However, and I'm sure it's like this in Los Angeles and New York City, too. Living in Washington, D.C., living in one of the five boroughs in New York City, or living in Los Angeles, California, or Seattle, in the city proper, might not be a good thing for you. Now, you might have a job in all those places, but, I would suggest, look, a half hour or an hour, give yourself an hour radius. At least, because there are people, there are YouTube videos where there are people that work in Silicon Valley, but they take a three-hour commute one way 5 days a week. That's six hours is a good chunk out of anybody's day.
I know. Yeah. I used to travel an hour and a half.
So I tell people, look at an hour's radius, bare minimum, and then you can probably find something. I mean, like in D.C., Hagerstown, Maryland, you might be able to find a house. It might be a fixer-upper for $55,000. Whereas if you're going to decide the closer you get to D.C., you're not going to find anything that's $55,000.
Right.
So, we'll tell people, and if they say, if they're addicted to these services, then, all right, here's how you can substitute that or, look for, they have services in other places, too. So that's why we'll be documenting it, because it will be things we don't know.
Yeah. It seems to me like you've got some plans to really teach people how to be self-sufficient. If the plans are good, then, again, of course, it comes down to whether or not the person has the ambition. Of course, that comes down to his mental health. But, again, what I'm concerned about is the government. Do you know that the government – are paying certain homeless people $200 a month to remain homeless?
I didn't know that. But that I would
look it up.
It sounds sensible.
Look it up and go.
Not sensible, it seems like something that'll be done. You say government paying homeless?
Government paying homeless $200 a month. Look it up in Google. That's how I confirmed it.
All right. cocaine, homeless.
And it may be in the first 10 websites, it may be in the first 20 websites, but it's there.
Okay, homeless. Okay, let's see what comes back. Well, here we go. The second article, I get paid to be homeless in San Francisco.
How much?
Joel, thank you for this. All right, now let me read it. I get paid I get paid to be homeless in San Francisco. It takes one phone call. Old school junkie says he moved to Woke City because he gets paid $620 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That pays for his Amazon Prime and Netflix, and cops are like neighbors. Jesus.
600.
Man.
Yep. See? I thought it was, and some, it's only 200. This guy's admitting to 600. The government is perpetuating homelessness. Why? It doesn't make sense. So if it doesn't make sense, and if it's detrimental to the community, then I have to come to the conclusion that they're doing it on purpose in order to create discord. Now, in conjunction with that, maybe they're just playing for time so that somebody can come in, use the tent cities as an excuse for gentrification, and then get rid of the people who are already living there in apartments and in small houses. Those are my conclusions.
Ooh, well, this is eye-opening.
I know. Isn't it something?
Mind-blowing. $620. And the city's going to get that money back, because where they're going to spend that money, they're going to spend it in Los Angeles. I mean, not Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. So they're paying homeless who do not have a place to live, but need to survive. What do they need to survive? Of course, food and water, but also drugs. So the government is enforcing a drug habit.
Oh, let me read the rest of this, Joe. All right.
Okay.
This guy says, as a self-proclaimed old-school junkie who moved from Texas to San Francisco because it's easy to be homeless, there claims that he's being paid by the city government to live in the streets and getting $620 in cash per month and hundreds of food stamps while he sells Narcan and enjoys Amazon Prime and Netflix on his phone.
Yeah.
Right now, this is literally by choice.
See, I didn't even read that article.
Yeah, you're right. They are all the articles.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what else we have here. Man. Here's another headline. Is giving out free money the best way to help homeless people?
Uh-huh.
A Canadian study gave $7,500 to homeless people. Here's how they spent it. So here's another. All right, they're doing it up in Canada, too.
Canada's worse than America in many, many respects, with Trudeau as the prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think the long game is in this?
Like I said, it could be gentrification. It's also to create disaster, chaos, and havoc. I believe there's a concentrated effort, which was discovered by the Church Committee, back in, what, 1955, something like that the communists want to pull down America. And I think the communists are funded by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the other rich families in order to rule the world. These rich families are worth trillions of dollars, not just billions, which Forbes can report on, but trillions. The Rothschilds have been in the central banking game for centuries, not decades, centuries. They got it all down to a science. So they know what they're doing. They're trying to let people think that they don't really know how to control inflation. It depends upon certain factors. And then at other times, they'll flip the script and say, well, we do know how to control inflation. They are trying to bring down not just America, but all the countries of the world for them to own the world. What else can rich people do? They already own castles, yachts, airplanes, private submarines. They influence government. What else do they need? More. What is it that every dictator has always wanted to be? A god, immortal. What's transhumanism? It's the transference of your consciousness to an android being that is pretty close to coming to pass. And AI is going to help that along. So it doesn't make sense that our government wants to do this, but it's right there by somebody who admitted it. It doesn't make sense for inflation. It doesn't make sense for war. It doesn't make sense for gross unemployment. It doesn't make sense for real estate values to fluctuate up, down, stay down, etc. But that's what the government's doing. And the government doesn't do it unless it's absolutely corrupt. And it's not hard to believe in the corruption of the government.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, with $620, now San Francisco's expensive, but they know where to eat, sleep. Like the article did say, he gets a lot of food stamps, which has a cash value to it itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll have to do a live stream on this probably this week. Thank you, Joe, for this, man. I wouldn't have believed it unless I read it.
I know, right? It took me about a second to believe it, but I'm used to what the government's been doing for a long time now. So,
and I didn't know they had a problem like that in Canada. Now, here's another article. SNAP's homeless shelter deduction can provide much-needed help for homeless individuals and families. And they give, like, over $600 away for this one.
Mm-hmm.
But
I haven't read these. I'm not even aware.
They can't give everybody money, though.
Oh, here's another thing. Haven't you heard about the universal income?
I've heard about it two years ago.
That's another one of their goals. Their goal is to provide people. See, they're headed towards communism, towards socialism. What is it? That means the government controls everything, and the people have no more power because all the power is in the hand of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's in the hands of the government, what have we got? Nothing. So they're going to use the universal basic income to be an incentive for people to not work. If people don't work, that helps to crash the economy. And then the government will take away the universal basic income, or it won't increase it in order for people to survive. It is a plan.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that the attempt of communism?
Of course. That's what I was saying.
But it didn't
Socialism.
Work.
Socialism. Yeah. It didn't work here. But except on an incremental basis, but it's working in Venezuela, it's working in Cuba, it's working in China, because the purpose of communism is not to help the people. The purpose of communism is to make a few rich people extremely powerful so that they can control the masses, which is what they're doing in Cuba, Venezuela, parts of Brazil, I think. Canada is practically a socialist nation.
Yeah, boy, that's mind blowing. Venezuela. I've read a little bit about that. China. The state owns much of the industry.
I think everything is state-owned. If you read the papers, it may not have been in the mainstream media, but Shanghai is a city of 32 million. The government there in Shanghai, they cracked down and enforced a lockdown for over 2 weeks, either 2 weeks or a month, where nobody, 32 million people, were not allowed to leave their houses or their homes or their high-rises except to go get food. There was there were quarantines and there were lockdowns, curfews, etc. You can go on YouTube and you will see something that's going to blow your mind even more. People in China in their high-rises all yelling out the window because they're going nuts. Look up YouTube, Shanghai lockdown.
Okay. Now, what about when I'm looking at people like Jack Ma? Well, he's just an exception.
Who?
Jack Ma, the guy who, what's that, Alibaba, the guy who owns that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said Shanghai. What were the other key words?
Shanghai, lockdown. COVID.
COVID, okay. Oh, here it is. China struggles to contain frustration from Shanghai COVID. So COVID lockdown is driving Shanghai residents insane. They got a bunch of videos on this. All right. We are starving. This is CNN. We are starving. Shanghai residents protest largest COVID lockdown. Residents locked down in Shanghai scream from the balconies. That's what you just said there.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me see what's... and they have audio and video of this.
Don't put
this
your speakers up
last.
Too high. Otherwise, you're going to be heartbroken.
No, I'm not going to do that. Let's see. pressure builds as Shanghai remains locked inside. Now, this video was done 4 months ago.
Yeah.
City of crisis, how fentanyl, that's San Francisco, a different city. We are starving. Shanghai residents protest largest COVID lockdown. What's it say? In the world, largest COVID lockdown in the world.
32 million people in Shanghai. Now, why do they do that? Now, of course, it's a communist government, but at the same time, why would they want to aggravate 1 billion people, or is it 2 billion? I think a little over a billion people in China.
It's knocking at Shanghai. Shanghai has a population of over 26 million. The metro area has over 41 million. China has a population of almost 2 billion.
Yeah. And they're controlling it because they've got the guns. Communism isn't about communism. It's about power. Communism means community effectiveness, community being together. The tenets of communism sure sound good. Everybody's nice and equal, equal opportunity, equal this and equal that, except that you don't get a chance to vote for your politician. He's appointed.
China has a population of 1,412,600,000.
And if it weren't for capitalism, China wouldn't be in the state it's in now. Because without capitalism, they would still be back in feudal society.
Right.
They didn't want capitalism.
Yeah, now, the state controls a lot of the... Now, there are some private businesses, I think.
There's a few of them.
Oh, no, hold it. That's Korean. Yeah. They're Korean, not Chinese.
Yeah.
You got
there's
me
a few
on that
of them.
One, Yeah.
You know what? They had a Chinese, this happened about a year or two ago. There was a Chinese millionaire, maybe even a billionaire, but let's say a millionaire. They've got a few billionaires there. But what happened was and this is my assumption, he owned a golf course, okay? Mm-hmm. He was a dissident of the communist government. His golf course had some violations, had some license violations. They put that guy in jail. I don't know if he's still in there or not. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire, right? If right. you don't control the Army and the Navy and the Marines and the Air Force, what you are, you're a rich person who can get thrown in jail.
Well, we've seen that in Russia. Billionaires
mm-hmm. sure have
thrown in prison.
Yep.
Mm. So much for legal representation there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, what's your take? This is just a sidebar. What do you think is going to happen
okay.
with Ukraine?
Well, they say we're teetering on World War III. I personally would not even mind because I don't fear death. You know, I don't like the idea of dying in pain, but death itself, I don't fear it. You know, to me, it's just a door that opens.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had the kind of nuclear warfare that we were afraid of back in the 50s and 60s, I wouldn't care because the missiles would come over, and in a flash, I would be eviscerated. That's all there is to it. But if we have the kind of nuclear warfare which people are talking about, and it's limited, that's going to be worse because let's say China bombs Taiwan, and then that gets the American Pentagon involved, maybe British M15 or the British government involved, and they start bombing certain cities, but they don't want to destroy the planet. So it's a limited nuclear warfare. That's bad because the fallout will be carried up into the stratosphere by currents, spread around the world, and you will see people developing cancers like you wouldn't believe in a year or two as a result of the radiation. That, to me, is worse.
Right.
I would rather just be burned to a crisp in 1 second than live on a planet where you've got nuclear fallout. You've got a nuclear winter, limited, but still destroying crops, destroying farmland, destroying cattle, people foraging for food, killing each other for food, and at the same time, they're developing radiation sicknesses. So,
right.
you know, I can tell you another theory, which is nuts.
Okay.
Here's my theory. Have you heard about the fact that the American government in some places they're taking carbon dioxide out of the air because they want to assist in climate change? You know,
I haven't heard
the environment.
That.
Yeah. No? Okay, look that one up too.
Okay. You know, everything you see is coming to fruition.
Yeah.
All right, I'll look it up though. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So look it up. Then you have to ask yourself, why would human beings take away from the planet that which everybody needs to survive? In other words, trees. In New York, I've heard that they've cut down over 1,000 trees in New York alone. Without trees to take carbon dioxide and transform it into oxygen, what happens to us and the planet? We die.
Right.
So why are they doing it? If we die, they die. Now, there's also a series on TV. I don't know if it's on now. I was looking on Tubi. I was watching a TV series about how the government wants us to die because of negligence. They want us to die. And they built in Cheyenne Mountain and in another place, maybe a few others, bunkers that can survive a nuclear winter for at least a little while. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that's in case of nuclear war. That's to protect the government. I can understand that. Not there for the people. However, the people, the government, which is taking the oxygen, carbon dioxide out of the air, thereby reducing oxygen, thereby over time killing us, why would they do it if they would die too? somebody would say, well, they go to the bunkers. But if they go to the bunkers, that means they can't breathe fresh air. They don't have sunshine. They have a substitute sunshine, and they'll have resuscitators in the mountain in order to provide some sort of fresh air. But they won't be able to step outside. So why would they do that if they know that's the end game? My theory, I think aliens are here, and I think they're in control of the government.
You know, I'm a co-sign with you on that one, and here's why. There was an episode of Star Trek where the Ferengi character, and
I know you're talking.
One of them said, you know, like maybe two or three Ferengi, you know, they can control Earth.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
Yeah, one of those episodes of Star Trek, you know, the ones with the Ferengi in it. And I don't think that's too preposterous because I'm not a tech head like that, but I believe there's something else. I mean, because I believe that, for instance, the way they program, like, for instance, we're in the age of what I call the Jetsons. So a lot of the technology that we have out here now, you know, the phones and the video cams and funk watches and all that, you know, we were programmed with that coming up, you know, through TV shows like the Jetsons and
the flying cars,
cars, supercar and all that. So drones are here. You know, flying cars are here.
Mm-hmm.
And they use entertainment and cartoons and all that to, you know, to plant the seed and, you know, bring, you know, like I said, one of the favorite cartoons I watched coming up was Supercar. You know, supercars are out here now. You know, drones. What's real scary is like the Stepford Wives. You know, now they're manufacturing people. What do they call them, androids or whatever?
You don't know how right you are. Do you know that there was a robot, an android, named Sophia, that was given private citizenship in, of all places, Saudi Arabia 5 years ago?
Well, any solutions on where can we go? I recommend people go in the United States. I recommend people go rural.
Oh yeah,
because if you go to a rural location, at least for right now, it seems like you'll be okay. And there are probably some developing countries that, you know. But the only thing is, when you go rural or go to a developing country, do you have the skill set to live in those places?
That's
you know, the average person that lives in Los Angeles, California, they're not going to make it somewhere in Alaska.
Mm-mm.
Unless they get the proper training to, you know, to survive, you know, in that wilderness.
Right.
And they're not teaching woodsmanship 101 in public school.
No, they're not.
Or private schools. Now, there are people online that you can find that stuff out from, but, you know. Well, you gave out some out of everything you gave is eye-opening, but paying the homeless. But the guy found his way from Texas to San Francisco to get that money.
To get the money, yep. Now, why would the government do that? To help the homeless? That would be their propaganda, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how can you help the homeless if you're allowing them to stay homeless? The purpose of being homeless is to get out of homelessness, to become self-sufficient so that you can have a structure, an apartment or a house that you can feel safe and secure in.
Right.
The homeless cannot feel secure at night because it's like being in a homeless shelter. It was better than being in a homeless shelter from what I understand because from what these people say, you know, if you're in a homeless shelter at night, you better sleep with one eye open. But if you live in Tent City, you know, somebody's still going to try to...
Those are not safe either because there's some videos on YouTube where there are people within that homeless encampment tent city, where they're going around collecting what, I guess, a tax?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so
that's right. You've got people like the Black Hand when they first came over here from Italy, which, you know, in their community, this, you know, it's extortion. You know what?
Right.
Something could happen to your tent. Let me protect your tent, I'll protect it. So protection money, tax. So they pay them because they know if they don't pay them, all of a sudden their tent's going to burn down. Yeah.
Right. It's rough out there on those streets. Well, I don't know who's going to come across my path, but no, I'm not trying to go to a tent city, and I guess people, like I said, the ambition level is going to have to be there. You know, if like the guy that went from Texas to San Francisco, he could have used that same amount of energy and time to, but you know what, if he's happy with whatever they're paying him, $620 a month or $800 a month, you know, some people are happy with that. That's a lifestyle for some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's really nothing you can do, with that.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's getting $600 more a month than he was before, so he's happy.
Right.
And he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have any plans to really get off the street because he's probably suffering from despair. He's probably figuring, you know what, all my life, every time I've tried to reach for the brass ring, it was somebody stole it from me. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that's probably a huge mindset of a lot of people who are homeless.
Yeah, because like I say, whatever they're paying in San Francisco, because San Francisco is a very expensive city. However, a lot of these people, they know how to survive in an urban environment like that. They know where to sleep. They know where the food supply is. They know where the medical attention is. So that's their lifestyle. So.
Yeah, but I foresee something a lot worse in the future. A lot worse. So I'm hoping that America, you know, I hope America proves me wrong. But I don't see America doing well at all. Economic recession, civil discord in major cities, people being homeless. Well, that's that, but that will be increased. Unemployment will rise.
Yeah,
house
see,
values
I think
will
it'll
go
be
down.
Increased too. Yeah, unemployment rise, increase, and then inflation is rampant out here right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I was talking to somebody earlier this morning. It seems like the bare minimum, unless you learn how to live off the grid somewhere, you know, depending on the city, you know, you'll probably need about $10,000 a month
to
live in someplace like San Francisco or Seattle. But it all depends on your lifestyle, too.
Yeah.
It all depends on that, too. So, well,
I see a societal breakdown. I see if the grid goes out, that'll be the end of America. They can blame it on Korea with their EMPs. They can blame it on China. They can blame it on terrorists blowing up certain plants. But if the grid does go out without electricity, take a minute to ponder on this, L.A., okay? What's going to happen to people, especially in the cities, after a week when they have no electricity coming into their homes? The water doesn't run anymore because the water's run on electricity.
Right.
They don't have lights. They don't have electricity for the refrigerators, for the radios, for the TVs, for the Internet. They still have to feed their families. Do you think there might be a little bit of looting at the supermarket and people shooting each other?
Yeah. Well, was it last winter or the winter before last when there was an ice storm throughout Texas? So they got that state got a little bit of that, but you're right. Because we're addicted to electricity. and the comfort and conveniences that come from it.
Yep.
So you're right. There will be some looting and.
Now that's just 1 week. What if it lasts 2 weeks to a month?
Another good reason to go out and buy some acres of land in the country now.
There you go.
Do it now.
That's right.
You won't be affected.
Anyway, I'll let you get back to your show. I don't know how much time you got left. So, but
okay,
I'll come back
I appreciate
another time.
It, Joe. I'm glad you put that information out there. Look forward to talking to you soon. All right.
I will.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. All right. So we've been reinvention of. Well, you know, it seems like even if you're not homeless, you might consider picking up new skills. Okay. And house building is one of them. Rosemary, you there?
Yes.
Well, no, nobody's cut you a break on well, because you haven't got any special aid from the government or nothing like that, right?
No.
Okay, well, that was news to me on that. So, all right, people, so what we'll be doing is we're going to be helping Rosemary get into not transitional housing, but her own. I mean, well, it might be a transitional piece in there for a week or two. But the goal is to help her get into a house that's hers. But once again, we need to get in them black and white and then lay it out before people and then assign, okay, what resources does Rosemary have access to? So we will do that, and it needs to be done as soon as possible because it pretty soon, although she's in Florida, Florida does get, during wintertime, it does get cooler in Florida, and where she's at, it does get cold. It doesn't get New York City cold or Chicago cold, but, you know, it does get cold where you might need a jacket or hat or something like that. And it does get frost up in that neck of the woods occasionally, too. No snow, but still it can get cold up that way. So if anybody's interested in helping Rose, just text me to 425-520-0605. That's 425-520-0605. And if anybody's got any other questions or comments or suggestions, call us now at 619-768-2945. Press 1. And you know what, I'll post some of those articles that Joe mentioned on our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV. That's our Facebook page. All right, so Rosemary, what are some of the things you need right now? We know you need a roof. We already know that. Anything else?
No.
Now, could you give out, now, for people that might want to, boy, you just have a flip phone. All right, we got to figure out a way to, because some people, if they want to help you direct. Well, you know what, if you don't mind, give out your phone number. If people want to contact you directly.
I don't know it by heart.
Oh, you don't? I got it in front of me. Can I give it out or what?
Yes.
All right. Anybody who wants to speak to Rosemary direct or give her any assistance, 229-284-1579. That's Rosemary's number. 229-281-1579. So what we have to do, oh, and anybody who's interested in, so we're organizing 9 friends to help Rosemary. All right, so I'm one, and we've got 8 more to go. Actually, we'll try to get is probably try to get between 12 and 18, but bare minimum 9. So we got at least 8 more to go. I'm just one of them. And you can text me if you're interested in that. At because what we do, we need to take a look at once again what Lauren Nelson has done at her tender age of 10 or 11. Take a look at what Lamar's done in a week by herself, and then we want to take a look at those two business models or housing models rather, and then we want to use the collapse time of 9 friends instead. Now, if we go the Lauren Nelson way, then we can do something within 12 hours or less. All right. If we do the Lamar Alexander way, we want to build from scratch in 12 hours or less. So those are some of the things that we'll try to hash out some of those on a podcast here on a live stream. If not, you know, we'll hash them out, throughout the day. Just tack off where we're going every day. So, all right, and just the 3 things. Start where you are. That's what we're doing with Rosemary. Use what you have. All right, she's got, here's what she's got on day 1. And today's the 29th of August, 2022. So, on day 1, she's got a phone, she's got service, she's got 1 friend, but she needs at least 8 more friends. Ideally, 17 more friends, but bare minimum, at least 8 more friends, because once we decide on which model, business model, we want to knock it out in a day. If they can renovate a regular size house with this guy overnight, we can do the same with planning. It's going to require planning. All right, Rose, thank you for coming on. I'll catch you probably in a few hours this afternoon. And on that note, anybody have any other questions? 619-768-2945. Just press 1 if you got any questions, suggestions, or comments on, like I said, what we're doing with Rose is we're reinventing people that want to become homeowners. Rose, see if you can get somebody to call in at the same time tomorrow. See if you can recruit 1 friend. I'm going to see if I can bring on at least 1 additional purpose. Because we get 1 a day, you know, within, let's say we try to get 1 new friend a day. You know, we're going to do that. Our assignment for within the next 24 hours is to get at least 1 new friend on the team. Team Rosemary. That's what we're going to call this, Team Rosemary. Matter of fact, that's the title of tomorrow's podcast. We might get some trending topics in there, but Team Rosemary. And the goal for the next 2 weeks is to get Rosemary at least 1 new friend. She's got that'll be willing to help her build a house. So she's got 1 on day 1. Now tomorrow, let's see who we can add to that. On that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day. Rose, thanks for coming in.